the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this recording, we look into what the Bible says about when God speaks. The main reading is Genesis chapter 1.
Well, last few weeks we've been looking at, we began with the resurrection, of course. 2 weeks ago we looked at the omnipotence of God. Nothing is impossible with God. It's his character, it's his nature. And as we look at creation, very important to learn, always get our foundation is so important, isn't it? That's why Genesis and the end, Revelation have been most two attack books in the Bible. Getting our foundation right is omnipotence, where we can see God creating out of nothing, ex nihilo, they say, that's the old Latin, without any pre-existing matter, he created all things. Space, time, matter is his creation. They are dimensions of the created order. And because the planet, the universe, was not self-created, is not sustaining, that's why God, we need God. Very good interview the other day. I'm not sure what he is on the whole of creation, but fantastic. I'm not a fan of Piers Morgan, but he interviewed Stephen Mayer. And, well, if anyone listens to him and comes out and say, well, I don't believe in God, well, they just may as well, they don't want to see it. Because it's absolutely so clear from the evidence. Actually, thankfully, the science is showing more and more we have to have a creator designer. And he said, back in the 19th century, they said a little cell was just one scientist. This was a scientific thinking of a cell then, just a blob of cytoplasm. He said, now we know it's like a power plant with 3D printing. And he said, it is so amazing that even Dawkins said when he saw he said, oh, wow. Because just one cell has got so much information and so much amazing creative ability. He said, you know, you cannot be, you know, without any little common sense, say there wasn't a creator designer. And when we see it, when we look at it, it shows the magnificence of God, the omniscience of God, and also that God is not, in a sense, part of creation. He's distinct from it, isn't he? Of course, we've got to be careful because we have these ideas mixed in with religion, which other religions, pantheism, God is in everything. No. Or panentheism, everything is part of God. No, everything God created, but is distinct from God because he created it. And he's not part of the created order. He is the creator. So we see he's transcendent. But this is one thing I noticed as I read just Genesis 1. And we talked about light last week, didn't we? That God is light. Of course, that he's pure, he's holy. Where there's light, there's sight. We know where we are. We know where we're going. He's holy, he reveals, he illuminates, he reveals, he's light, loves light. That's the first recorded words we have of Jesus, let there be light, so we can see. But notice again, 10 times we have in this opening chapter of Genesis, and God said. Now, for some, God is a million miles away. He is so transcendent. He can't be found. He can't be seen. He can't be known. But thankfully, our God speaks. And God said. He's the God of, they call it, self-disclosure. In and of ourselves, we wouldn't chase God. We wouldn't be after God because the Bible says, as we looked last week, or 2 weeks ago, we love darkness, not light. Because our deeds are evil. And when we come into God's presence, all our dirty linen, as they used to say, is open. All the cupboards are open. The skeletons in the cupboard are there before us. But God is a God of self-disclosure. Let's just read, jumping on a bit. I want to read this verse because this is a beautiful verse. We've looked at this particular verse before. Exodus 3, 13 to 15.
Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what I say to the Israelites, I am, has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.
It's a memorial name. It's not a name we give God. God gave himself this name to, again, communicate with us who he is. I am. That you say, well, what is that supposed to mean? Well, I am who I am. Unchanging, incomprehensible, I suppose, inexhaustible, life within himself. He created life and he doesn't need anything else because he gets life from himself. He is who he says he is. My being from my being, my existence from my existence. I will be what I will be. I like this. I am whatever you need. At any point in your life, that is his nature, to be for us whatever we need at any time, at any given time. He is the beginning. He is the end. I am. It's you know, you can really go to town on that. And that's why when Jesus said, I am, in John, people say, did he ever claim? Of course he didn't. As soon as he said, I am, and he uses, people say seven, there's a few more than seven, but we'll go with seven because it's a nice number. I am, what was he saying? God had already said, this is my name, my memorial name forever. I am. So when Jesus stood up and said, I am, that's why they tried to stone him. Because he was saying he was God. So we have God revealing himself. Bless the Lord. And we see God speaking, God revealing, God looking. And we see in his word, in Genesis 1, every word he speaks is creative, is causal, constructive. Hallelujah. It's full with power and control. He speaks the worlds into being. Now that just amazes us, isn't it? His word. He speaks. His word is creative. Hallelujah. And thankfully, the Old Testament writers, the psalmists and all that, understood that. And when they were looking for comfort and grace and strength, they always went back to creation. We know that. God, you created. And they had limited knowledge of creation. We have amazing knowledge of creation. So our faith should be so much bigger. That's a great God. Psalm 33:1-9.
Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to sing. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on a 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, came to be, he commanded, and it stood firm.
Yeah. Word of the Lord spoken into being. Well, I love that because he says, it didn't tell us what context, David is singing this, saying this, sing joyfully, praise the Lord, sing a new song. Why? Because the word of the Lord is right and true. And he speaks, he reveals himself. That's who our Lord is. By his word, creation was enacted. And that word, he speaks to us, giving us, of course, his name, information, identification, insight into who he is. Hebrews 11:1-3.
Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible.
God spoke it into being. That's the power of his word. We must never ever forget that. When we pick this word up, never forget the power in it. The very essence of it is life itself. He speaks and the word was, and the worlds were. And very interesting, more than that, he reveals who the word is as well, doesn't he? In the beginning, Let's go to John chapter 1, 1 to 5.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Jesus, the very Word. Again, the whole of the Trinity was involved in the creation, wasn't it? The Word spoke, and the Bible, he came as the Word. We'll look at his words in a moment to see how that revealed himself, how he revealed himself to the people. Creative, life-giving, authoritative, his Word. He is the Word. Well, the wonderful thing then, at the end of Genesis, after all those let God... And God said, and created everything. And he said, let's make man in our image. And that's wonderful in itself, isn't it? But then the Bible says, verse 28, and God spoke to them. Hallelujah. God spoke to them. God is interested in communication, in relationship. He didn't just create us to run the planet. That was part of it. Didn't do a great job. But he created us for relationship, didn't he? God spoke to them, gave them fivefold blessing, didn't he? Right by there. And then he said, come on, speak. And that's why when he came down at the end of the cool of the day, which was his, obviously, the tense is there's a habitual thing. They hid. Where are you? Where are you? God spoke. Genesis 1, 27:31.
So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food.
Yeah.
And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Yes, so God spoke to them. Hallelujah. And again, we looked at those that blessing, fivefold blessing there, which Jesus reintroduced, didn't he? Not in the natural, but certainly in the spiritual. Fruitfulness, blessing, increase, to reign, didn't it? What are we supposed to reign over? Yeah. This is what we've got to reign over, isn't it? Depending on how big you are. This spirit, that's what we, and our will, rule over and reign and subdue this spirit. So God speaks. And that's wonderful. God is interested in speaking to us. We'll look at that in a moment, how that applies. Now be careful now, because sometimes we want God to speak. But I was just thinking here, just earlier, I wonder if we want God to speak when God, if God has told us something and we haven't been obedient to it, be careful for asking God for something else. God, speak to me. I've already told you to do something, Dave. You haven't listened. God, I want you to tell me something about this. Dave, I've already told you about something. Go and do it. And there's things in the Word. You see, how do we hear God's word? By, isn't it? By enacting that which we know. We, again, are open to God speaking to us. If we don't do what God has already told us, and we know it's to be true, why on earth would he tell us anything else? Because we're not being obedient to what we know. He's not going to reveal anything else until we do as we know what we should be doing in the first place. And of course, this is the devil's work. And we see right at the heart of God speaking, we looked at this before, the first question ever recorded in the Bible, first words by the work of the enemy. So again, first mention, we know what he says first. We see his character, his nature, what he's about. Genesis 3, 2 to 5.
The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
So we see the devil always challenges the accuracy of God's word and the authority of God's word. Did God say? Ah, that's why we need to know God's word. And who is he to tell you? Isn't it? He challenges the accuracy. And if we don't know, we think, oh, wait a minute, now did he actually say? We are very good at over-egging what God said not to do and underestimating what the consequences are. Because when God speaks, remember, when God speaks, he's the word is absolute, isn't it? That's what we see in the creation story. When God says something, when he it's going to come true. And he said, if you do this, you will not die. You will surely die. And so there's authority behind it. God gives us, obviously, when he speaks to man, he gives us purpose and power and the promise and provision, everything we need. But there's also a prohibition, isn't it? Don't eat of that tree. One command, dear, dear. And we couldn't do it then. And that's where we are. And the devil has not changed his tactics. He challenges the accuracy of God's word and the authority of God's word. Why are we having so much trouble now with, or did really God say that? Well, why are we changing our views on moral issues that have been fixed for 2,000 years? The devil's come along and said, what did that actually mean? What's the accuracy of that? Did they actually mean this or that? As if we knew better than some of the great men and women of God that have gone before us. and the authority. Well, wait a minute now. This is God's suggestions, isn't it? God's suggestions as opposed to God's commands. Well, no, God speaks and he says and it has authority and it is absolute. And we can go beyond it and challenge it. But the consequences are sure and certain. Absolutely sure and certain. So we see God speaking to man, devil challenging his word. But I love again the Psalms, he's come back to God's word. Psalm 19 is a beautiful psalm of the word of God. Psalm 19, 7 to 14.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
Yeah.
Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, and I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
It starts with the works of God and the word of God. And of course, he uses these different terms, which covers how God speaks to us. He uses different facets of, he talks about the law, his testimonies, the precepts, the statutes, the commandments of God, all different facets of how he speaks to us. You can find in your word. And they do wonderful things. They restore the soul. They make wise the simple. Bless the Lord for that. They rejoice the heart. They are pure. They enlighten the eyes. And it causes us to fear the Lord. And then, of course, he said, keep me from presumptuous sins. How do we keep ourselves from presumptuous sins? By knowing his word. Keeps us from that. And he's just getting excited with the word. And the word that will hold him fast, that will stir his heart, And it is, of course, true. And so we come. He speaks. He loves to speak. He longs to communicate. And we see Jesus, the Word. And we see his Word, how his words changed things when he spoke. Mark 1:22-28.
The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. But just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
Amazing. His word. By his word, quiet. Come out. Because he was the word. Of course, he said, and we've talked about this before, it's again very interesting that his first miracle, his first revelation was a demon-possessed man in church. Very interesting, isn't it? That was his first miracle, which says a lot. We talked about it before. Does the devil come to church? Well, I'm sure he does. But Jesus, with authority, speaks the word. What is this? He said, he speaks with authority because his word comes with authority, and he's speaking the word. And that's why, again, we can take the word of God with authority and apply it to our lives, live it out, speak it over our lives, and speak it over our situation, because it's the word of the Lord. Now, not just the word over demons, but the word over sickness. Matthew 8:16-17.
"When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out their spirits with a word, and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases."
He spoke the word, and they were delivered, they were healed. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. With his word, not just over the spiritual world, not over just the physical illnesses, but over the created world. Why? Because he's the creator, of course. Mark 4:35-41.
"Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillar. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have not faith?' And then they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'"
Yeah, the authority of his word. Again, when God speaks, changes everything, because he is the God. And when the word revealed himself, he had to, again, show his authority over all the natural phenomena that he had created, and revealing who he was. And that's why we can again rely upon his word. That's why we love him. We love his word. And that's why Peter said these words, John 6, 63-69.
The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit of life and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God.
He knew his character by his word and the authority of his word. When he saw the words take place and do what he said, that's why he said, I'll honour my name above my word above my name, because your name is only as good as your word. We said that before, haven't we? And he spoke with authority. And Peter said, where are we going to go? You alone have the word. And it's the same thing. He alone has the words of eternal life. Why? Because back in creation, God said. And he has been speaking through history, through time, and to me and you right now speaks. Hallelujah. And that's why we say, Lord, where else are we going to go? Now you can go somewhere, you can go to different places, different things, but you'll only find good ideas, not God ideas. Maybe some good inspiration sometimes, but only in the Lord we will find eternal life. His words. You alone have the words of eternal life. Applying God's word. John 8, 31, 32, which sometimes we misquote, but let's read the whole context.
To the Jews who have believed in, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Verse 31. Read that again, Ken.
If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
And we've said that so often, we, verse 32, you'll know the truth will set you free. Get the verse before. If you hold my word, you will be my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth you will set me free. You know, we can, again, we love taking verses out, don't we? And sometimes we can do that. We'll be very careful because the context is there. Holding to the truth, watching over it. Why? Because it is his word. And it is his revelation of who he is, what he said to us. And when the power of the effects of that, it will set you free. Bless the Lord. Liberty from character flaws, habits, issues, all we carry, don't we? All our lives, but in the word, through him, there's liberty and release. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17.
But as for you, continuing what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and now from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Very important. Again, didn't read the beginning of the chapter, saying in the last days there will be seducers, imposters, cults, goodness knows what, taking us, drifting to... And again, we're just reading of some people who were following, said they were following the Lord, and now gone away, doing their own thing. A lot of society, pressure in society, drift, take us away. He said, now, be careful. He said, what's the power? What's the antidote? What's the answer to that pressure of the world? All Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's his word. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, putting up the right way, isn't it? Putting it to the right restoration, to the upright and right state, for instruction, training like a child. How do we train a child? repetitive, isn't it? Yeah? Please, 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 please. Trying to get Henry to speak in a tar. Give me the biscuit tin. Don't worry about tar. Give me the biscuit. Tar. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we train a child because why? Because repetition. And that's why we enter God's word. We get into good habits. Good habits of applying God's word, of loving God's word. So, verse 70, the result is the man of God is mature, is complete, fitted, equipped, fully furnished, perfectly prepared, put in appropriate position for every good work. God can call upon us and say, Dave, look at that up there now. Go and do something about that. Go and minister into that. Go and say something to that situation. Go and give into that situation. Why? Because we have applied God's word. That's our foundation, that we are setting what we know and we are obedient to what we know, so then God can whisper to us. The Spirit of God can lead us. Why? Because the Spirit knows that we take the word and we've applied it and we are living through it. God loves to speak to us. God said, hey, he's not just magnificent and transcendent. The Bible calls it, in other words, imminent. He's as close as our next breath. He wants to be in relationship. Now that's amazing, isn't it? God didn't just speak, he spoke to them. So when we look at Genesis 1, we can see the nature and the character of God. Well, ultimately, how does God speak? Well, of course, thankfully, we have God's word, which holds us fast, isn't it? Because I want God to tell me things that I want to hear, doesn't he? Yeah. Dave, yeah, you deserve that. You should definitely have that. And that's my thinking. Of course, we've said before, there's voices that appeal to our reason. Now, we don't throw our common sense out, mind. Sanctified common sense, we know. But sometimes our reason says, this is the best road to choose. It's naturally the best road to choose. Well, not necessarily what the Lord says. Again, be careful. The voice of the flesh, of course, appeals to our desires. That's what I want to do. That'll make me feel good. The voice of the devil, I suppose, appeals to our pride. If I do this, what will people think of me? They'll think you're all right. And of course, a voice of our imagination. Sometimes we have some fanciful ideas, isn't it? Proverbs, I love Proverbs. I do chuckle when I read Proverbs. He said, the man who works his land has plenty of food. The man who chases fantasies lives in poverty. And sadly, we've seen many who've had grandiose ideas, something. See, ultimately, know the Lord. Wherever you are, live for the Lord where you are. The Bible says, whatever you find your hand to do, do with all your heart and mind as to the Lord. Whether it's in the supermarket, whether it's in school, whether it's whatever you are, do it as unto the Lord. And then when we apply God's word and we are obedient to what we know, and you see, I don't know, it was Mark Twain, was it? He said, it isn't what I don't know about God's word is a problem. It says what I do know and I'm not doing, he said. That's my problem with God's word. And then God begins to speak. So many ways. We've looked at how God speaks, but he does. Hallelujah. He could speak an audible voice, but generally not to frighten us to death. In the Old Testament, of course, angelic visitations, and the New Testament. And who knows, when we get to heaven, how many angelic visitations we've had or we've been and seen. We don't know. That's why Hebrews says, you've entertained strangers, you didn't even know. Visions and dreams. Now we're getting into territory where we know. Some of us have had dreams, if we're old enough. I remember Stuart having a dream. I told him he's old. But about the cliff, wouldn't it? People going over the cliff into a lost eternity. And that spoke to him. And gives us visions. The word of God, of course, is the primary. It's preaching of God's word. Bless the Lord. Counsel of godly men and women. He speaks by the Holy Spirit. Prompting. Guiding. Correcting and that holding back. He just says, he's told me before, in our spirit, wait a minute, Dave, hold fire there now. The gifts of the Spirit, which we need so vitally, which are, I suppose, the gifts of the Spirit are a confirmation of what we so often know. Just God reminding us of what we know. But thankfully, God speaks. God loves to speak. God wants to speak. or that we will be listening, hallelujah, to his word, to his voice. Amen. Bless the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.